Well, good morning, church. So nice to see you on these nice warm days. Summer is here in full force, I see. And at least we get some rain this afternoon, it seems. But anyway, despite the weather. today we are actually, after the service, going to be having a meeting for just everybody who's keen to join us at the new property. We'll be moving there. Well, next week will be our last service here, and then we'll be moving across to the new property the week after. So the first week of November, we'll be at the new property. Pierre's shaking his head. I'm like, did I get the dates wrong? No. So yeah. So after the service today, for everybody who's going to be joining us, we just want to have a meeting about just logistics and what we see and our plan and our vision and everything. Looking forward to it and just sharing our heart as well a bit about us going forward as a church and how that's going to look. Today's message is a message that I've wanted to preach, and it's basically just a message of hope. In this day and age, there's so much happening, so much turmoil, so many million things that we encounter on a daily basis. And we can easily lose our peace, but just as much easily lose our hope. And we just see the news and the hopelessness of so many situations and the negativity of so many situations. And for us as a community, it looks like as Christians, we should live in a space of having hope for the future, having hope that our Christ is still Christ, that God is still God, that He is indeed our hope for the future. Even in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." And often we focus on that the greatest of these is love, and we have many sermons on love. But in those three main things is hope. And you see quickly the worth of hope when you start looking at, people struggling with it and, struggling with depression and things like that, where there's just a hopelessness, a lack of like a vision for the future, a vision for God in your life, that He has got you, that He's carrying you, and that He's got a future for you. So for me, for this church, for us, our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope for this church, for the move, it's in Jesus Christ. The hope for us in our personal lives is in Jesus Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the one who leads us on the path of righteousness that leads to fruitfulness. I have a conviction and a peace about, Trinity Central's move to the new property. And I have a level of joy and excitement for what lies ahead there. I have a lot of hope, a lot of hope for that community that we're going into. And God has just been speaking to me through random things that have happened, and just seeing almost like God's plan starting to come together, and you go like, oh, this isn't just us going off on a thing. There's other things happening in the community there. There's like there's a need for the light of Christ in that community. And so for us, there are so many sort of unknowns going there, but in the same sense, it's like God is the trustworthy God, and so we just answer His call to go and choose to trust in Him and put our faith in Him and see what happens on the other side. One of the things that I feel like, God knows what we need, and He will provide what we need. And even in the venue that we have there, it's like, we went in there going like, okay, what are we going to have to do to make this ready for the church? And we go like, oh, actually, it's pretty much everything sorted. It's all like set up and ready to go, basically. Minor changes, but really it's basically like, okay, we can have church straight away there, and it's pretty perfect. So like one of those things was just the venue itself, where we can see God's hand in that. Another part of that, and I'm not sure of what God all wants us to do in that community, other than, you know, just reach out and be a light and be a safe space in that community, is this. It's Luke 4 verse 18. It's when Jesus basically starts his ministry, and he opens up the scroll of Isaiah in one of the synagogues there, and says, and he reads this, and he's speaking about himself and how this is now coming to pass. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And we know this was obviously referring to Jesus and his ministry. And I feel this for us as well. I feel this for Trinity Central. And then I go, okay, but how do we do that? What is the plan? And God was giving me this verse in Matthew 28, 16 to 20. It says, it's basically the Great Commission, as we know it. And it says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So this is Jesus. All authority has been given to him. And then he says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So Jesus, we see, it's like all authority has been given to him, and he says, okay, now you go and you do the same. And he gives us, he commissions us to go and do these things, to go and reach out and go and do what Jesus says. And so for us, I feel like we have this message of good news, to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, and set the oppressed free, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We are called to be messengers. We have a gospel message to share. The gospel message means good news. Gospel means good news. So we have a message that is good news to everybody that we encounter. It's not like good news if you are XYZ, if you are a Christian, or if you're... It's good news to everybody, because you see, like in this, what Jesus was saying about proclaiming the good news to the poor, etc. It's like, it's good news to everybody, no matter what situation they're in, because everybody needs salvation. Everybody needs freedom. Everybody needs to be set free from oppression where they are oppressed. So this is a good news, and it's full of hope and freedom and restoration. The message of salvation is a message that is the cornerstone of which is Jesus Christ. He is the one who we have our hope in. And we don't need to overcomplicate it. God graciously calls us to partner with him. He doesn't say, you know, you have to have a theological degree, you have to be walking a perfect life, you have to be like this perfect Christian, and et cetera, et cetera. He doesn't say any of them. He doesn't say you have to have your life all sorted out and all your ducks in a row and then go and speak to people about Jesus. He says, no, just go share this good news, this message of salvation. Just go and put it out there. And in my experience, it is just that. It's like you don't have to have your life together, because most people who you speak to don't have their life together, as much as they might seem like it. And it's like, you know, when somebody who doesn't have their life together comes to you and says, you know what, I'm not perfect, but I've found this sweet gift, this hope, this salvation, and it's good, and it's good for me. And that's what God is calling us to. He says he's not looking for perfect Christians. He's just looking for faithful people who are willing to put themselves out there, but and just realize the good news. Like, what is this good news to me? And just go share that. Just go see the need of that salvation to others, that good news, that hope, that life, that fruit. So, let us go out and share with others this good news, this message of salvation, this message of redemption, this message of a relationship with the God of the universe. the problem often comes when, you know, life doesn't quite go to plan and it doesn't quite work out as we thought it was going to work out, and there's like disappointment and things that almost like break that hope and go like, oh God, but I thought you were going to XYZ for the glam and now I'm disappointed and now how can I trust you for anything, etc., etc., etc. And it's like we have to have a resilient hope. When we start questioning God's plan for us, you know, we should be going to God and saying, I don't understand what's happening here. And open that conversation with God and not just run away from God. It's like when we are struggling, we run to God and not from God. So part of this gospel, this good news message, is a message of peace and faith. Because with this message, we know we're going to go through trials and tribulations and turmoil. And it's just to stand firm on that hope, that faith, and hold on to that peace that we have in Christ. Peace is in essence like a confidence and a trust in God's control of our lives. Where we go, you know, there might be a lot of things happening, but I can still live in a state of peace because our trust is not in ourselves to resolve our problems. It's in God and us just being faithful to follow God through that. So when things look different to what we expected, it shouldn't shake us and our relationship with God. We should just hold on to that relationship. And even with Trinity Central, it's like it's definitely quite different to what I expected it to be when I took over a year plus ago or whatever. And yeah, it's like it's different to what I thought it was going to be. And it's even different to, you know, having a dream of pastor in a church growing up, or at least in my after school years when I really started like walking with God. It's just like, you know, you have these dreams and visions and views of like what it would be like to, you know, pastor a church, and it's turned out quite different. Not bad, just very different. And there is ups and downs and everything, but it's like you still hold on to that hope and that faith, and you keep that trust in God, because all we can do is just follow God as best as we can. And that's what I feel we've done. It's like we've just listened and stay prayerful and follow God as best we can and His guidance, and then trust Him for the rest. And often it's still, like I said, it doesn't work out as you expected, but there are many accounts in the Bible where people, you know, follow God and things didn't quite work out as they would have expected. And it doesn't mean that you're not in God's will. We see that Moses, after his, you know, the 10 plagues and the craziness of those plagues, and you see God's hand moving so powerfully, and then, you know, the Israelite nation gets set free, and it's like, yes, we've got victory, we've won this. And then all of a sudden the armies start chasing them and they get to the Red Sea and they're stuck and they're like, oh, well, we screwed. We should have just stayed where we were, kind of thing. And yet Moses stays faithful and he goes, no, God has promised this. God has made a way for us. And he engages in God and engages with God, and God tells him, just take that staff, hit the water, and he obviously is faithful to that. So he's faithful in that. He hits the water and the... Oh, sorry, to raise the staff, not hit the water. Sorry. my bad, yes. Thank you, Wavi, for that conviction. It's like he was just obedient to God in that moment. And then he sees the miracle, the Red Sea opens, the fullness of God's salvation, and he sees a nation walk through the middle of a huge river. Nothing he could have done, nothing would have prepared him for that. I mean, even imagine God saying to that, yeah, just go do this, and all the water is going to, like, you know, that's not his idea. It's something so abstract. It's not like, oh, no, I've seen this done, you know, 20 times. I'm just going to the river. I'll open it. It's fine. No worries. It's like so obscure, and yet he's just like, he hears God and he says, okay, this is what God says. Let's do this. Let's go for it. And he tries it, and God comes through, and he leads a nation into the fullness of their relationship with God and the fullness of what God has for them, and into freedom and into a promised land. We see with Joseph, and he's Joseph in Old Testament Joseph, not Joseph and Mary. The Old Testament Joseph, he has the dreams that, you know, his father and mother and his brothers would bow down to him. They get upset, and then they basically, like, catch him. They almost murder him, but then they sell him into slavery. He goes into prison eventually. And you could say from his side, it's like, this is definitely not looking like the dream that God had for him. It's definitely not turning out like he would have envisioned it. And yet he stays faithful to God. He stays in that relationship. He doesn't get angry with God. He just says, you know, I'm trusting that this will come to pass. And then, you know, later when he does end up, eventually that God leads him to be the second in charge over this Egyptian nation, and God gives him wisdom in that, and he saves a nation from a famine and saves a whole bunch of people, and to the point of where he says, you know, his brothers come back and he encounters them, and he says to them, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And it's like we see in that his obedience to God, his staying strong to his plan, led to another nation being saved through literally food, but in a whole other nation being saved just through his obedience, even though it looked completely not like it would have. We see Paul in the Bible, you know, that is like one character of like hope, you know, despite despair, like hope in the midst of despair. And he, I don't know, like if you remember when we went through the book of Acts, how many times he got imprisoned and beaten, and you know, the attempted stonings that they had on him. He had a super rough life, and you know, he just stayed faithful to what God had called him. He was like, you know, I go through this rough stuff, but it's for the gospel, it's for the spreading of the good news. And so he's just trusting that, you know, God is leading him, so he's staying faithful to this. And he does. He gets up to what God planned. He gets to preach, to spread the gospel across the whole Roman Empire. And so we need to rely on God, not ourselves, not our great plans. Sometimes things look vastly different to what we expected. And that doesn't mean that you're not in God's will. That doesn't mean that you're still not in God's plan for your life. The greatest example of this is Jesus. And we see that the worst thing, him going to the cross, basically being murdered, was actually the best thing for us. It was the thing that brought us salvation. You know when you start pastoring and then you get that background music at the end of your preach? That was good timing, thanks. I think we should start this, Pierre. but yeah, so Jesus was the greatest example of this. What we thought, what would have been seen as like the worst thing happening, Jesus being murdered, the Savior of the world being murdered, was actually the best thing for us. It was God's plan for the redemption of each person before and after Jesus. And so we have to put our trust in God. Jesus stayed faithful to God's plan, even though it was tough for him. When he was on the Mount of Olives pleading to his Father, is there any other way? Can you take this cup from me? And God doesn't give him that option. He doesn't give him a way out. And he says, that's fine. I'm staying faithful to this. I'm going to go through this no matter what. And we see the incredible fruit that comes out of it on the other side of his yes, the other side of his answer. So whether it's in your personal life or in the adventures of TC and us going to this new community and making a difference there, we need to be resilient and stable in our faith with God, trusting in Him always, trusting in Him to work out all things for the good of those that love Him, to hold on to that peace through the process, and not just peace when everything is going well, that we can stand in turmoil and say, actually, God has got me. The Savior of the world, who's very capable of, you know, redeeming whatever situation, He has got me. And so for us, I'm really excited for us going to this new property. And I have this closing verse from Jeremiah 29:11, and it might be like one of these super common verses that you just like, oh yeah, I've heard that, whatever. But I really feel it, and it's like, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I feel that for us. I feel it's like there is so much on the other side of our yes, and so much for us in whatever situation we go through, if we can just stay resilient and full of faith and trusting in God and hold on to that armor of God. You know, the armor of God is not just like a list of things in our pocket. He puts it in as armor. It's like you have to wear it. You have to hold on to it. And with armor, it's like, you know, you don't go into battle and then when the enemy's attacking and the arrows are flying and the swords are swinging, you go, oh, let me put on my armor quickly. There's stuff happening. It's too late then. It's like we've got to be wearing that armor going into battle, because it's then you're going to encounter those flaming arrows and then you'll be able to stand firm in that armor. You'll be able to go, I'm standing firm with this belt of truth. These are the truths I believe. This breastplate of righteousness. The shoes of the readiness that comes from that gospel of peace. You can just stand firm in that. The helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit. And the shield of faith. And it's just like, you just stand firm in all those things. And we live with that on. We don't wait until we're in the battle to put that on. And so, as you go through life, as you go through the trials and tribulations and the turmoils of our daily life, we can just stand firm and walk in strength. We walk in the strength of Christ, because it's Christ who clothes us in that. It's Christ who strengthens us in that. We just have to put it on and be aware and vigilant and, you know, be able to stand firm in that hope and that trust in a very capable, very amazing, very intimate Father. So we're going to take up communion now. And yeah, I just want us to almost like we see what Jesus has done for us. We bring it to the forefront of our thinking and go, even with Jesus, He went through tough stuff and He stayed faithful. And us too, we want to be disciples of Him. We want to follow Him. We want to be like Him. And so we too are going to, you know, live with faith and trust.
Good job, husband. I just felt to share something while Barry was preaching. And it's like sometimes we can hear this stuff. And I know, like, I used to be in a space where I would hear things like this. And I'd be like, yeah, I know that's true. But it's people in the Bible and it's long ago. And it can feel really, really far away. And I was just reminded of my grandmother's life. And, you know, when you're little, like, you don't really fully understand everything that's going on behind the scenes in family, and you're too young to understand the complexities of things. And so when I was young, all I remember of my grandmother is that she was like the very gentle Bible bashing grandmother. Like whenever we went to her house, she was always playing these ridiculous old hymns that we were like, what is this? And she would always insist that we would like sit and pray together, and she was always talking about God, and every situation, no matter what you said, she had like a Bible verse for it. You would say a word and she would somehow find a way to start singing an old hymn, and we were like, Gran, what are you doing? So that was how like I remember her as a child. And as I grew, like as I got older and you start to, you know, hear your parents talk about stuff and actually be able to have like more adult conversations, I started to piece together more of the story of her life. And I will summarize it for you very quickly, but my grandmother, she was in Rhodesia when she first got married. Things got really rough there. And they decided to immigrate. But when my grandmother's first son was, he was in the Air Force, so I think he was like still quite young. He committed suicide. So my grandmother lost her first son before he really was even an adult. After they then went through this really hectic moving with little kids and uprooting their entire life to come to South Africa, like in the hope that things would be better here, she lost her first husband very shortly after her oldest son had committed suicide. You know, as the years went on and her kids all grew up, one of her grandchildren, so my cousin, was killed in a horrific motorbike accident. Shortly after that, her second husband, so who I knew as my grandfather, after her grandson was killed in a motorbike accident, his father, so now her second son, also committed suicide, and she walked outside and found his body in a tree. Shortly after that, her second husband, the one I knew as my grandfather, he also passed away. And through all of this, obviously this stuff was rougher than what most of us will ever go through. She never once wavered in her faith. And I remember going and sitting on her couch after my fiancé was also killed in a motorbike accident. I remember sitting on her couch and just looking at her and being like, how do you still say that God is good through all of this? How do you still hold onto this hope? How are you still singing your old hymns? And she just looked at me and she was just like, my girl, like God is good always, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter how much you don't feel it. She said, she was like, just stay faithful and you will see God is always good. And I remember being irritated with her. I was like, how can you say that after everything you've been through? And up until when she passed away, like even when she was at her lowest and she was struggling with depression, obviously because of everything she'd been through, in the midst of that, even when she like didn't want to do it anymore, her response to that was still like, I wish that I could just go and be with God now. It wasn't, I'm done with this. This life is awful. Everything is terrible. She still, in her depression, had that hope of she is able to hold on because she knows that she has a father who is good, despite what it looks like. And she just constantly had this yearning of just going to be with her heavenly father that she had this relationship with. So just like exactly what Barry said, like we can see all of this in the Bible and it can sometimes feel really far away. But we actually, if we look for them, there are people like this around us who can give us really practical, real-life examples of just holding on to God, like, no matter what the circumstances look like. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you sent your son for us, Lord, and thank you that you too know exactly what that pain feels like. Father, we can't think that it wasn't painful for you to watch your son be humiliated and beaten and killed on a cross, Lord. And we thank you that you were willing to go through that so that when we go through trials and we go through hard stuff, Lord, thank you that it's not something that's unfamiliar to you. Thank you that you don't ask us to walk through anything that we're not yourself willing to actually go through for our good. And Father, we thank you for the body and the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. And we thank you that sacrifice was made so that we could live with a hope and a future, and that we could just hold on to you and know that no matter what the circumstances look like, Father, you are for us and you always have been, Lord.
We thank you, Jesus, that we can just plant our faith firm in you, that we can just anchor our lives in you. And as we bob around in the sea with whatever happens in our lives, that we just know that anchor is firmly, firmly secure in the safest spot in the world, in you. Lord God Almighty, we praise you and we worship and we thank you that we have you, a loving Father, as our Savior, and that we have you to walk with us through our lives. As it says in that first, that great commission, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Lord Jesus Christ, we just thank you that you are with us always, every moment of every day. Help us to keep our eyes on you, keep our eyes fixed on you above all circumstances and all situations. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen.